Hi,
welcome back.
Okay, so this one's for you, Rivka.
Okay.
If you're going to give some sort of practical, grounded advice about relationships, something that people often ask when people ask us to give a talk or give a presentation, relationships is always on the forefront.
We never actually do.
No, we don't do it. But people always want us to.
That's right.
How would you go about giving something grounded, off the cuff, but at the same time grounded and interesting?
It's interesting because when it comes to relationships, what I actually like doing is giving food for thought rather than exact advice, but giving food for thought that's actually usually sidelined. It's not where the bells and whistles and where the fireworks are. It's not how to make a fantastic first date or three ways to know that this guy's your guy and like that. It's usually the underrated stuff that I usually talk about.
So like the game that's happening that people aren't paying attention to, but in some way it's very vital?
Exactly. But it's not vital in that you'll get immediate feedback. You won't get immediate gratification. It's a longer game. And that's why people don't often look at it and people don't often talk about it.
Okay.
What I mean is I'm not talking about men and women. And when I'm saying this, I'm talking about the male and female dynamic, which is a more abstract concept.
Similar to what you developed when you spoke about God being a male.
Exactly. Well, very good. The male dynamic.
I was paying attention.
You actually listened, right? Which we're actually going to talk about today. Anyway, so the male dynamic being that burst of inspiration, the potential, the excitement at the beginning of a project, the infatuation at the beginning of a relationship, when everything's perfect and the guy's perfect and the girl is perfect and everybody's Superman and you just love each other, no strings attached.
Okay, so you're talking about the first stage of a relationship where everything is very exciting and people are having a great time.
Yes, and in more metaphysical terms, that would be the male stage of a relationship. Nothing to do with a man, but it's the male stage. The beginning, the excitement. It's not a loyal stage, though, and it's not long-term.
So in an Aristotelian sense of the word, it's potential.
Potential, exactly. Very good. The female stage, think about being pregnant with something which takes time and you create something from potential to fruition. Think about Mother Earth, where you take pure potential, a seed, and you don't add anything. You just sit there with it until a plant grows. Think about femininity being the loyal, the staying power, beyond the excitement to actually make it long-term lasting. So in a relationship, that's when you realize that the other one is not Superman and that they have flaws. And that you're actually going to have to communicate and it's not always going to be comfortable. And when you're still there, and when you're there even with the warts, and when you're there even with the problems, that would be the feminine energy, the loyal energy.
Okay, so it's basically, so the boundaries that are set around potential. It's the actualization of potential.
I like that. Boundaries that are set around potential. Not in a bad way, but anything that's actualized has boundaries. You know, people who are walking through a religious neighborhood on Shabbat and they say it sounds so peaceful and it's so lovely and everybody's just talking and it's digital detox, etc. Yeah, you have to put in boundaries there. You can't take out your phone.
So boundaries have a pain to it.
Yes, boundaries have a pain to it. Pregnancy is exactly that.
It's like when you're going in from a metaphorical sense, you are asking for a what's the word? You're asking to be funded for a project and they ask you how much do you want and you say, but you know there's literally an endless amount of supply of cash. You at that stage, you're in the stage of the potential.
The male, the potential.
And then when you actually tell them that you want 32 million, you've now actualized that potential, but you're not getting any more.
Exactly. There's a story of a man, and this is just a legend, a man walking in Russia and saves the Tsar. And the Tsar gives him four sticks, puts one into the ground, and says, you make that square and I will give you the land where your square is going to be. And the saying goes, he's still walking.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have anything. So a pure male potential, and again, this can be either gender, will have a hard time settling down and actually actualizing their potential. Will start a project and be all excited about it. And this is me and this is everything that I am. And then 2 weeks later, it's something else. Whereas female, too much in the feminine potential, will be very loyal to where they are, but might not ever try something new and might never allow that potential.
Will never let their foot to go into the inspiration again.
Exactly. Well, wow, you've all said. So the perfect male-female dynamic in yourself, without going into a relationship, in yourself, is to have a balance between innovation and potential and actualization, harmony, and nurturing.
Interesting. From a political standpoint, that's like the liberal versus conservative.
In every different...
Liberal would be the progressive movement. Everything has to be new. Everything has to change. Conservative is no. Let's reflect on why this is here and what are we doing and do we need to change. And either side, you either have nihilism or totalitarianism.
Exactly, and one completely radically one way or the other might be shockingly similar. But I think a balanced approach will be taking each situation on its own and seeing where you lie. If it's time to innovate, if it's time to reflect.
So where does this filter into people?
Right, so people. So what I would say in terms of relationship is, yes, the bells and the whistles is important, and the first impression is important. However, where I think a lot of things break down, especially since Western society is heavily male energy dominated, we always are looking for the next exciting thing and the next vacation and the next high. Do you know what I mean?
So, well, you can translate it to social media.
Exactly. The social media, it's always about that next headline.
That dopamine kick.
Yeah, you're always looking for the next dopamine kick. However, and here's where oxytocin comes in, the oxytocin drip is that loving, gentle, caring feeling that you get when you're not necessarily running for the next goal, the next getaway, the next vacation, the next something, and rather you're sitting together and you're actually looking at each other and you're communicating and you're being vulnerable and you're nurturing what you already have. The male is extremely necessary because without that excitement, you'll never have the motivation to sit and to be. But with the female is where actual love happens, where you can laugh together, where you're not trying to change the other to fit your prescriptions, but you just love each other because.
So it's, sorry to materialize it, but it's the perfect cocktail of dopamine and oxytocin. You basically have a situation, I'm sorry to mail your description.
Yeah, you're elaborating very, very technically, but it's fine.
But the idea is that getting a hug is very different than trying to achieve a goal. Getting a hug is the focus down. The moving towards a goal is where you get that dopamine. People say when people get a hug, they get a flow of oxytocin.
Exactly.
So, and that's what builds a relationship, you're saying.
Yes. And thank you for putting it down so succinctly. And
I mean, especially after that beautiful rendition.
Yes. But basically, a relationship, yes, when you're looking for somebody, you have a list. But when you love somebody, somebody asks you, why do you love this person? You can tell them, oh, he's patient and he's kind. That's not why you love them. You love them because you love them. It's
irreducible.
It's irreducible. It's here and now. Love is when you can just be. And a lot of people have a hard time to be in love. They can only fall in love because they're so male propelled that they can only do it. They can't be it.
So perhaps we can say, by way of advice, if I had to translate this into like a succinct answer of, it's valuing both sides, but because of a society or based off a person's disposition, they may negate one or the other. And the goal is to have this structure in mind, and that helps you motivate yourself towards finding this balance.
Exactly. And practically speaking, oftentimes when people have a hard time just being with another, it's because they have a hard time being with themselves. So that obviously is a conversation that's deeper. But back to this week's parsha, Pekudei is a repetition of the creation of the Mishkan. We already know how to create the Mishkan. We've had it in the past two times already. The point here is that what is the Mishkan? The Mishkan is when it was our turn to build a house for God. Not just a house, but a home. And we are here trying to build a home for God in the Midbar, but also a home for ourselves so that God may dwell in us. So we're one explanation for us repeating it and repeating it is we're showing this consistency, is that we're really doing it again and again, and we're talking about it again and again to show that we are here and we're still here and we're still here, even though it might feel mundane. That menorah is still there with its symbolism, and that mizbeach is still here with its symbolism, etc.
Nice. The consistency, the repetitiveness to show stability and loyalty.
Exactly. It's specifically here. It's not loyalty about the meraglim or loyalty about the mana. It's loyalty about where we came in.
Our creative processes in relation to God, which is the partnership, which is what you do when you make a home.
Exactly. And we, all of Bnei Israel, are the female to God. It's male. So there you go.
Excellent. Thanks for listening, guys.
Thanks for listening.